5. Loading. 4.
Into Sheringham. And Solskjaer is winning.
3. Almost there. 2.
Cross. And Dempsey's tonight again. And Donovan has scored. Oh, can you believe this?
1. Here we go. Now. Introducing Sunday League Finest Podcast with your host, David Donis and Roberto O.B. Hernandez.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Sunday League's Finest. I know you're ready to hear my voice. You guys missed it. Today, we have something special. Well, I don't know if you call it special, but something new. We actually brought on a third guest for the podcast. My brother, Rolando Hernandez, he's been taking care of a lot of our social media stuff that you see online. He's not an expert, but I mean, we really don't know anybody else, so we just decided to bring him on. But say what's up, bro. Say what's up, David. Everybody wants to hear you guys.
Oh, you're so dumb sometimes. I just coming on, and apparently I'm a third guest. So the other two are guests, too, so they're all replaceable.
Anytime we're replaceable, dude. We're like the replacements.
No kidding, but Obi got scared because I did a solo podcast, and now he's bringing up somebody else. He's like, hey, I got options in case you try to go solo.
Yeah, everybody enjoyed that monotone-ass podcast.
Hey, shut up. But we got a special guest, and by special, I mean he wears a helmet and rides a short bus.
Yeah, not gonna lie, you ended up using your podcast to go to sleep last night too.
Oh damn! All right, we roasted you. We got the most views on that one solo podcast than all the other ones combined.
Nah, how many times did you watch it?
yeah, I just kept looking it. Whatever. But no, I'm glad Obi's back. We got a special guest. I'm excited to see how this goes. Hopefully, it's not a huge train wreck. But first of all, you know, how was your weekend, Obi?
It was pretty good. Got to come home, you know, after the COVID scare. Finally, both my roommates, I guess you could say, tested negative. So I was able to come home. So it feels good to be back home. And yeah, it's good. Yours, David and Ro?
The only negative test you ever get. But my week was good. I was up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, so I had a quick little impromptu trip to just take a break from all the packing and moving I've been doing. I'm getting into my new house, so it was a good trip. But now I'm back, excited to talk about soccer. What about you, Ro, man? What were you getting into this weekend?
Well, let's go back. Are you actually unpacked now?
Yeah, man, still getting things situated. Got some more furniture that needs to come in, so it'd be nice to get my California king. No, it's just a regular king. Get it in here, man.
Dude, that I need an Alaskan king.
I'm still an Alaskan king guy. Is that what you need?
Yeah, sure, dude.
No, it's good. So I'm still trying to unpack my house because I'm still just moved in, like you guys know. But it wasn't too bad, just ended up watching some UFC since Obi wasn't able to. Me and David hijacked his account and ended up watching the fights without him.
We dissed you. But, how about that main event? How disappointed were you guys were in that?
Yeah, it looks like Derek Lewis never got started.
I was waiting for him to turn it off.
Scared.
Yeah, it was weird because, I don't think he's scared, but like I know Gon's reach was really keeping him back, but I was waiting for Derek Lewis at some point to take some risk, man. You're going to have to take a risk to get in there. And, it kind of sucked because it was in his hometown and everything. But hey, hats off to Gon. Now he's going to get the fight against Ngannou. But, I really wanted Derek to be the champ because, man, everybody freaking loves the guy. He's a hard guy not to like. That kind of sucked.
I mean, with an interview like, hey, my balls are hot, it's kind of hard not to like them.
Yeah, my balls was hot.
Imagine if one of us said that, dude.
Yeah, dude, we should. We should. Hey, we should get some Sunday League's Finest t-shirts like that. Maybe it'll help grow the podcast.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. But again, everyone's like, dude, I always come over here to listen to soccer, and somehow I end up learning about MMA.
Look, people want to know more than just about soccer, dude. They want to know us.
Because we have
such interesting lives.
Yeah, right. All David does is, hey, I could tell you David's routine. He basically goes and he eats at Chinese place and he gets chicken wings every day.
I'm also an escort on the side, too.
Very cheap, very cheap. Well, David, let's get into the MLS roundup because I want to hear and make fun of Atlanta United like always. So let's get into this, yeah? It's time for MLS roundup. All right, David, like always, we always start with Atlanta United. Seems like they've made some splashes in the market. I heard they even made a bid on Messi, but let me know what's going on with Atlanta.
ATL, baby. Yeah, I know. Wasn't that fun to just see everybody posting Messi in their home kit of their team?
It's kind of funny watching it because, they even put him in the Lakers jersey, too?
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Lakers signed Messi. No, but man, finally, Atlanta United, we finally get our win after 2.5 months. If you can believe that. So obviously, I was happy. I think it's a huge, weight lifted off everybody's shoulders. Because there were games where we were up 2-0 or we looked like we were dominating. Somehow they just always managed to drop goals at the end to get a draw or to lose. So finally, we get our win, and man, hopefully it's the first of many to come. Because like I mentioned, what do we got? Like 15 games left in the MLS season. So we really got to turn it up. We've got I think 7 or 8 points out of a playoff spot. You know how it is in MLS. As long as you make the playoffs, you have a chance. So I think that's all it's going to take. Because once we creep in there, I think it'll be hard to beat us. And I think, not having a good coach, a lot of player injuries and players getting called up for the national team. I think right now we're hitting a point where, everybody's back in the lineup and healthy as can be. Obviously, we're still looking for a coach. But, like you mentioned, Obi, we signed a Brazilian DP, Luis Araujo. Apparently he's Portuguese, so it's not pronounced Araujo, but I'm not going to try to pronounce it in Portuguese. He was signed from Lille, who won, the Ligue 1 championship last year.
Say it again.
Ligue 1.
that's your favorite word to say right now, isn't it?
it gives me juice to get through the podcast. Apparently Lille didn't really want to give him up. It's just, I don't think they had the money, and we probably all know why, because they spent it all on a 5'6" Argentinian. So I think it'll be good. I mean, I really think we do need like a defensive, like number six, like to replace, because we never really replaced Nagby. Who knows? It's another attacking threat. And, based off of how Barco and, Moreno have been playing, who knows, we're probably not going to be able to hang on to Barco at the end of the season. So that might be a backup plan. But, yeah, anyways, it's finally we're winning. So hopefully, we'll continue those ways. But if about Atlanta United, what's going on in Galaxy World?
Nah, dude, I want to stay on Atlanta United real quick. Congrats for finally winning and finally not getting a red card. You guys get a lot of red cards. the one thing that is kind of funny about MLS and how forgiving it is, right? You guys haven't won in 2.5 months. And I mean, you guys are only 3 places out of 7 to get into the playoffs. And I mean, as a Galaxy fan, that's something we did very often. We snuck into the playoffs and then we're champions. So it's still not a horrible season yet.
It's just funny to see it because, like you said, you have the team that says, "Oh, okay, you haven't won in like 3 years," and then all of a sudden you win and you're back up in playoff contention, and that's what it is. MLS is all about can you make it into the playoffs and be that contender, and they're obviously showing it.
Yeah, I mean it's MLS where like you could be at the top of the table playing the last place team and can still lose 3-0. So that's that MLS parity where you don't have a lot of, except for maybe like Seattle and New England, a lot of teams just keep you know, winning and losing against each other every week. You don't have teams that consistently, you know, beat other teams and are expected to win coming in. So that's why it sets up that way, that, you know, any team, as long as they get hot at the right time, they can squeak in there and make some noise.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. But I know you brought up your favorite team in the MLS, LA Galaxy, so we're definitely going to speak on them. Obviously, LA Galaxy, we struggled for a while. It seems that we're back for not, I wouldn't say to the complete winning ways, but obviously we won a couple games. Getting all of our players back from the national teams has definitely helped us out. The one thing with the Galaxy is we're still struggling to score the goals because we don't have Chicharito, something that, you know, he was taken out on the 4th of July from the starting lineup for a injury prevention. And it's kind of turned into this 6-7 game missing. And we still don't know when there'll be an end to it. So hopefully we're able to get him back soon. But here's the thing. Galaxy did go out and sign another Serbian striker to kind of replace him. He's coming over from the Bundesliga. So I'm hoping he's here and he's with the team because he's on, I think he was on like a travel visa, but he's waiting for his actual work visa to come in to be able to play. So hopefully he gets in very, very soon. And then we also signed on loan from Queen Park's Rangers. I'm going to butcher his name. It's Nico Hamalainen. But it's going to be
Himalayan.
Yeah, basically, but not really. It's going to be interesting because he's going to be the first player that played for LAFC and now playing for Galaxy. So it's that first crossover between the derby. I mean, he really only played like 3 games for LAFC, but it still counts. So I wonder, you know, how it is in the locker room. What's he going to say? Is he going to say the typical, like, oh, I love Galaxy now? Or what do you think is going to happen there?
He's just going to say, I love LA, because he's played for both. You never really see a lot of that work. Where their players like trash talk their previous team, unless it was like, you know, they were really, for some reason, it didn't go right. But usually they're like, you know, they stay quiet about it. So, you know, I think they're just professionals. You know, they can be playing for, you know, the San Jose Earthquakes next year. So they could just play for every California team. That'd be an accomplishment, something new. Just, hey, I'm going to play for every California team and then go on somewhere else.
Yeah. Speaking about San Jose, you saw who they signed?
Who?
Jeremy Ibobose. How do you say it? Ibobose. I think that's a good signing for them. Yeah, they signed him from Portland. I think it's a good signing for them. Obviously, he's been with the national team a few times. I think it should go well for them, but we'll see. Obviously, San Jose, they're San Jose. Every player gets there, and as soon as they get there, they turn into poo-poo.
You know why I know Bobisi's name so well?
Why?
Because in the MLS Cup, he was a forward that came back to get the ball, and then we turned the ball over and scored immediately. So now his name is, like, seared into the back of my brain.
Yeah? What else is seared in back there, huh?
Mm-hmm. his favorite website that he's going to be going to. Yeah, exactly. Hey, so does it piss you out that, like, Chicharito's not back for Galaxy, but he's, like, said he's going to play for the MLS All-Star game?
Yeah, well, it doesn't really piss me off, obviously, because in the timeline he's coming back. It just pisses me off in the sense of the whole MLS All-Star game when they decided to do it. You're doing it 3 days before arguably the most watched game in the MLS, El Tráfico. So now you have players on both sides. Realistically, how long are they going to play when they have a huge game 3 days later?
Well, not only that, think about it. So, like you're saying, Galaxy has that rule of if they have to play in that All-Star. If they don't, they sit out a game.
Not Galaxy, like, how MLS. Is that fair?
Like MLS, my bad. But then, like, how do you have a player who's injured not allow him to be able to sit out and then be like, oh, you know what? Too bad. You were injured. But you're going to have to sit out that next game.
Well, I mean, he's currently injured, but he's supposed to be back. So if he's injured, he's injured. They're not going to force him to play, but obviously he just can't play the next game either. And, I mean, it would make sense. If you can't play 3 days before, you probably can't play 3 days after.
And that's what I mean. Like, if he's okay to play for the MLS game or the All-Star game, but then, you know, just kind of a risk injury thing. Like, I don't think it should... if he's injured and that's his first game back, I don't think that should be a rule, or at least have an exception of, okay, just kind of sit back. It's okay if you sit out this game.
Yeah, and apparently his injury is a pulled vagina, so hopefully that heals up soon.
There goes our careers.
Yeah. I know, dude. What happened, man?
But I don't know what's going on with him, but hopefully he comes back soon. It's definitely, speaking about the MLS All-Star game, are you guys excited about it?
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Why, are you not?
That's good.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. Obviously, some Mexican All-Stars or Liga MX All-Stars versus MLS. One of the first times it's ever happened. Well, first time it's happening. I think we've been asking for this for a long time. I've looked at their tickets, dude. It's like $200 to get into that game. I'm definitely gonna watch it on TV.
Well, speaking of LAFC Stadium, right?
Yeah, it's at the stadium.
It is. It's gonna be there.
That's the thing. It's just like, it's a small stadium, so you can charge more too. Because what is like a 22,000 seat stadium? Is that?
I know it's a small stadium for sure.
It's 22,000.
Big.
So they built it a lot smaller than the Dignity Health.
I know it would have been nice to, because I think for a game of this magnitude, you could easily, you know, get 40,000 people.
Yeah, but obviously putting in LA, you're getting a lot of the Hispanic fans who follow the Liga MX, and that's obviously the target goal. And I think if you go too big, like something like the Coliseum or the Rose Bowl, you're running the risk of potentially not filling the stadium at all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want it in that 60-70, but man, it would have been nice. I don't know if it one exists, but there's like a 35 or 40,000 seater, because I think that could be easily filled.
Yeah, I don't know if
I think so. If you think about it, like, that's one of the big things, especially playing in LA. You have the Mexican population that's obviously going to love soccer. They're going to get out there. They're going to want to buy these tickets to watch. Not only MLS, but it's going to be more watching the Liga MX and their All-Stars in play.
Yeah, you know what's going to be funny is because you have, like, the MLS All-Stars that the forwards are going to be, like, Carlos Vela and Chicharito. They're both Mexican. And then you're going to have Liga MX, who the forwards is probably going to be, like a Brazilian and an Argentinian.
The French guy, Gignac.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like... It's pretty interesting, but I mean, that's the way it is. It's club football where, you know, all your players aren't going to be domestic. So even though it's like Liga MX versus, like, you know, MLS, it's not really like U.S. versus Mexico.
Yeah, that's true. Patrick Mahomes, he decided to get in on this MLS action a little bit. Obviously, we've seen a lot of celebrities, a lot of other pro players getting in on the MLS ownership. So he's now part owner of Sporting Kansas City. Do you think it's good getting other athletes involved in MLS, or do you think, what do you guys think about that in general?
You go first, Ro.
Honestly, I think to a point, I guess it's good because they can bring that additional income to the team. But at the same time, like, do we know if Mahomes even watches soccer and he's like, oh, it's growing, let me just invest some money in here and make some more money? Because in the end, like, it's better to have a player, or I should say a person that knows the system, knows soccer, they would develop it a little bit better for a team instead of having some random person come in like, oh, yeah, here's some money. Yeah, sure, let's make that signing. Let's sign this other guy, or let's just drop this money here.
But as a part owner, I mean, all that responsibility still falls on the GM. The owner's just kind of flexing muscle. They have, yeah, they're on the board, but they don't really do much.
It's true, but at the same time, you still want to get that person that knows a little bit instead of like, oh, okay, sure, here's my money.
Isn't that the MLS?
I mean,
most of the MLS owners don't know anything.
Yeah, they're like AIG owners, the owner of AIG or whatever.
AEG.
But yeah, whatever, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I like it. I think Patrick Mahomes, he has been to a good number of SKC games, so... I think any notoriety for the league is good, because I think it'll hopefully lead to more eyeballs on TV. But you know, either way, you know, it's probably more money in the long run. So I mean, I'm cool with it.
Well, I mean, look, if David could host a podcast, then Patrick Mahomes definitely knows more and can own a team.
Let's be real. Yeah. Was David really able to host the podcast?
Nah. Hey, man, I got better reviews from other people. But,
from
you know,
his mom.
Also,
Mijo, I'm very proud of you.
But yeah, like you mentioned, Obi, we've seen other celebrities invest in MLS and soccer, you know, around the world. So I think it's, you know, in terms of MLS, I think it's a lot cheaper to be a part owner for SKC than, you know, like Kansas City Chiefs. So, and I think, you know, obviously they're not stupid. They have people managing their portfolio. So it is a good sign that it shows that the clubs are pretty healthy and a good investment.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Speaking about GMs and owners, well, FC Cincinnati just split ways with their GM, Gerard Ninja Cap. Dude, I don't know how to pronounce
Ninja Cap.
That. Ninja Cap. Ninja Cap.
Yeah, so that's a...
Jay Silent, Ninkap.
That's a tough name to pronounce, but, I mean, we've been talking about Cincinnati for a while, how they just... You know, they haven't really done anything since they got into the league. And, you know, they're sitting in 13th place. So, you know, it was a matter of time before that happened.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, now that we're talking about them, though, they're probably going to start winning and signing all these great players and figuring it out.
No, we already did that, dude.
So, yeah, they're coming back.
They're already playing better.
last piece of better. MLS news that I have is Anthony K. Michael K. headed to Colorado from LAFC. Do you think that's a good signing from Colorado? Do you think he's overrated? What do you guys think?
Oh, he's come from LAFC. Of course he's overrated.
No.
True that.
So, honestly, wasn't it?
Go ahead.
Go, David. He is a good player, like, for the most part. Overrated at... I don't know. Like he can, I guess, still compete. He is an older player, but I think my looking at it is LAFC kind of in a rebuild, getting rid of their players to actually produce someone or a better team, because what they've been losing, they haven't been really producing as much as they are expected to. And honestly, who was it? They played with San Jose this last week, mm-hmm. and they were kind of just kind of looking bad. They weren't really looking like the LAFC of old, even though, yes, I don't like LAFC being a Galaxy fan, but I think they might be in that rebuild stage a little bit, where they're not at the top of the league and they're trying to look for a little bit of help to get that rebuild to become more of a contender.
Was it for DP money? I think it was, wasn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah, and just to go off of what Rose said, I mean, Carlos Vela is, a free agent at the end of this year. And as far as I know, they haven't had any talks about renegotiating. And then you have Diego Rossi that they're probably not going to be able to hold on to. So it is kind of interesting because, you know, I think Anthony Michael Kay is a good player. I don't know if he's DP money, but right now he's looking good. So I don't know if LAFC is trying to get the most while they can and then just, you know, reshape the team. You know, I think we've talked about LAFC since forever, is that they score a lot of goals, well, except for this year, but they gave a lot of goals up too. So, you know, they probably should spend that money and be sure of their defense.
Honestly, he didn't go as a DP spot. He went as a general allocation money.
I wonder how much that was, actually. Because it's a weird thing.
Like, what it says.
See, so it's like technically it's DP money, but it's the same thing with Atlanta United because They keep saying everybody on our team is a DP, but you can only have three in MLS. But, like, if you pay them down, they're no longer a DP, but technically they make DP money. So it's kind of, you know, it's weird to talk about over and over again these weird MLS rules. But if he's not a DP for Colorado, it's good. But he's getting paid.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's the transfer fee using GAM. So going over to the counterparts, Kansas City, the NWSL, sorry about that. I got a little bit
excited. Really quick, before we move on, do you guys think Bob Bradley gets a boot?
No.
I don't think so. He is still a big name, so...
He'll definitely last the season.
There's only one bad season so far, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he'll get it. I don't think he deserves to get fired yet, but you never know.
Yeah, true that, true that. And also, Miles Robinson is an MLS All-Star. Now you can move on, OP.
Oh, my gosh, dude. No one cares. Those literally two news could have just waited, dude. Not even waited. No one even really cared to hear it.
Your mom cares.
Now moving on to the NWSL, speaking of women. The Kansas City, our favorite team, well, my favorite team to mention, continues to lose, dude. They've now lost, what is it, 13 games? They haven't won a single match, dude. It's pretty sad. Even David's Sunday League team wins more than that.
Dude, it's so funny because, you know, you see these things around the world where teams are just doing so bad where they start doing funny things like wearing, like, paper bags over their heads or having a bunch of arrows and pointing at the goal. Like, at this point, if you're a Kansas City fan, like, there's a time to start doing funny stuff like that because there is – you have 4 points. You're in last place. You haven't won all season. I mean, you're the next team in ninth place. There's a 10-point gap. So you're not making the playoffs. So at this point, you know, I think it's time to have fun with it. It's so ridiculous. You got to go with it.
Yeah, dude.
As a fan, like, you kind of have to. You just wait to make it fun at that point. Like, that's like, who was it? You're saying the paper bags thing. That was with the Browns that were doing it. You're like, I mean, we're just going to lose, so might as well make this interesting for myself. I'll go to a game. I'll pay you my money. Now let's have fun.
Yeah. I would do it.
I mean, the sad thing is they still haven't figured out a name, right? Their official name is Kansas City NWSL, so they're still waiting to select a name. Maybe that's why they keep losing, you know? The team's unsure, you know, what they're playing for, what the crest is, and maybe they don't, you know? They don't have an identity, David. But on the other unfortunate news, Gotham FC, we lost 1-0 to North Carolina Courage, so that was pretty upsetting in itself.
Yeah, we gotta get Ro on the train. Are you gonna be a Gotham FC fan or a Angel City FC fan?
I'm gonna go with Sporting Women's FC.
Kansas City, no, like, NWSL.
Kansas City women.
That's going to be your team? Soccer. You're going to choose not a last place team? Yeah,
hey, that's definitely how you know he's not a bandwagon fan, dude.
Yeah, I would actually, like, I would give you some credit. You're not choosing the Dallas Cowboys.
Sorry, I did. Oh,
I mean, it is better than the Cowboys, that's for sure.
Ooh,
hey, all right. My fault, David, that you're just used to teams choking in the last fourth quarter, dude, you know?
Yeah, just like your ex-girlfriend. Yeah.
How's that an insult?
No, good point. All right.
It's an insult because he doesn't have the phone.
Let's move on, guys. Come on. This is a family show. My dad's listening.
Yeah, I can talk about your ex-girlfriend all day long.
All right.
But obviously the Olympics came to a close. So now everybody could go back to doing their hobby that they normally do.
Dude.
But
I don't know how I'm going to go without speed walking for the next four years. It was so intense.
Hey, ping pong was intense, too. That was fun watching ping pong. If for soccer, Canada wins a gold medal. You know, I talked last week about how the U.S. women lost. Talked about maybe all the things that could have caused that. But they do manage to get bronze, winning 4-3 against Australia, and Rapinoe scored a goal Olimpico. I doubt that was on purpose, but so they barely eke out Australia. So, bro, how do you feel about the U.S. getting a bronze medal?
I mean, I guess a bronze is better than no medal.
If you clean it well enough, it turns shiny, dude.
Use that elbow grease on it to make a gold.
Yeah.
At least they ended up getting something out of it. I know we all wanted to see them get that gold and to prove again, hey, they are still the top team in the nation or in the world. You know, that's what we want. But it's kind of nice to see someone else finally win it, even though it's our neighbors to the north who ended up beating us to get there. But, you know, It's cool. It's fun.
Here's the thing. Okay, so I'm going to go off on two tangents. You guys ready?
Oh, all right.
Here we go.
So, I actually am okay with them winning bronze because It knocks us off our perch. It makes us realize that the rest of the world has caught up. And we got to be able to evolve and get better as a nation, right? Okay. Now, the second thing is Canada won gold. Respect to them. Good job. But they don't even have a women's professional league. Where do all their players play? Here, college system, then into the pros. So it's just interesting that, you know, Canada has won or is now considered one of the best, at least in the Olympics, and they don't even have a pro women's team. So it's kind of interesting in that development, right?
Yeah, I guess so, but that kind of goes the same with the men's. I mean, there is a Canadian league, but it's not really a men's, like, it's almost like a D2 league,
yeah, but
right?
Exactly. So their men's team has barely started becoming good, and we're developing them too. We should just adopt them as a 51st state so we can become better.
It just goes to show that we can produce some pretty good female players is what it is.
Well, I mean, it's what we talked about too with Central America getting better. It's because the players play in MLS, so it's kind of the same thing. But I agree with you, Obi. I think it's good that we get humbled. I think the U.S. women will come back better. I think there is a turnover that needs to happen. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, we still got the World Cup that's going to be coming up in the not too far distant future. But hey, how crazy it is that, like, literally, like, Trump and, like, is arguing with Rapido. Could you imagine being
who doesn't he argue with?
Yeah. It's just like, could you imagine being a soccer player and then like the former ex-president is talking shit about you? He's like, if I, that would have been me, I would have made that save that Obi couldn't get down for.
You're fired. You're fired. But go ahead, bro.
No, it's just funny to end up your own team, women's team, and you're just like, whatever. Just talk shit about him, like he's saying.
All right, guys. So let's go ahead and into Americans abroad. David's favorite subject. David, let us know what's going on in transfer news.
Well, the big one is, and I'm sure there's more, but the big one is Josh Sargent signs with Norwich. So I think that is a great move for him. We were talking about how he was the lead scorer for Werder Bremen, but then we saw how many goals they scored, and we're like, well, no wonder. So, and obviously Norwich plays in the Premier League, so I think, you know, it'll be easier for us to watch us, but I also think that you know, it's just going to be good for his career, and hopefully develops, and you know, he really starts knocking those goals for Norwich. I mean, it's going to be tough because they got Liverpool as their first matchup, and hopefully he gets a start. You know, I don't know what the competition is with Norwich, but yeah, I like that signing. How do you feel about it, Obi?
Yeah, it's definitely a good signing for him. I guess it kind of, I don't know how it went down, but I guess he left Werder Bremen on a bad note. They were expecting him, I think, to play in the their FA Cup style version, you know, of their tournament. And there's some miscommunication, but obviously Josh Sargent now with Norwich, which is obviously they battle between promotion and relegation every year. But hopefully they're able to stay afloat, and hopefully Josh Sargent, like you said, gets a lot of goals. Either way, it's a good learning experience for him, and yeah, hopefully excited to see a lot of them. Going to sign him in EPL Fantasy.
Yeah, and Norris just came up, too, from the championship.
Yeah, like always.
It's good for him, too, because like you're saying, like you have to, as a young player, you have to be able to get that experience and that exposure to different types of styles so that way you're growing in your own way. And eventually become
the Messi,
being U.S. right, being U.S. player, hopefully become even better for our national team.
Yeah, and we talked about it that you know that forward for the U.S. I mean, it's still up for grabs. Nobody's really solidified themselves as the I need to be the forward that starts every game. So
David's actually training
see.
Again. He's trying to make a name for himself to get called up.
Yeah, they're going to call me the bruiser, and I'm just going to knock people out.
Are you talking about the U.S. or the women's?
Either or. Hey. Either or.
Yeah. Does it really matter? I got the titties.
Hey, we're all there with the titties, dude. We're forming our own team, dude.
Dude, we probably do have more titties than most of the national team players. other news, David Ochoa wants to get the switch from the U.S. to Mexico. We all know why. Matt Turner had a great Gold Cup tournament. So you got, you know, Zach Steffen, who's playing for Man City. He's playing loosely because he hardly gets minutes. You got Ethan Horvath that, you know, did really well in the Nations League final. And I'm not sure, Obi, what's the club he plays for?
He just signed with Nottingham Forest in the championship.
All right. And then Matt Turner, obviously, who I just mentioned as a keeper for the Revolution, right?
Yeah. So it's definitely interesting. Obviously, you never want to see American talent move to another national team, but I completely understand why he doesn't. I think it's best for him, just like you mentioned, David. I don't see him playing, being a contender, maybe from time to time being on a third as a third option. While Mexico, on the other hand, I don't see anything coming through the ranks as in terms of goalkeeping, right? You have Ochoa that's on his way out. Talavera that's on his way out. Corona that's on his way out. You had Jonathan Osorio, mm-hmm. but he's still up there in age. So I don't see anything coming through in terms of goalkeepers from Mexico anytime soon. And I think David Ochoa can definitely make a name for himself there and become their starting goalkeeper. So it makes sense, you know. It's kind of one of those things that, yeah, maybe he wanted to represent the U.S., but at this point in time, he doesn't see himself starting. So why choose a national team when you're not going to play?
Let's be honest. We know that he's behind Guzan to even start, too.
Probably. You're exaggerating.
but how crazy is it?
I'm better than Guzan, and I still can't even run.
But how crazy is it that the Mexico number one forever was, like, you know, Guillermo Ochoa, and now what if it ends up being David Ochoa, like an Ochoa for Ochoa?
Dude, and then the next guy who comes along, they're going to force him to change his name to Ochoa.
It's that superstition. They got to be an Ochoa to be able to play keeper for the team.
Yeah, dude. That's like, didn't Mexico have two Salcidos at one time, too?
Yeah, Salcido, and then they have Salcedo, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, remember back in the late 90s, they had Garcia and Garcia Aspe, too.
Yeah, they have a lot of the people with the same names, but it's all right. Obviously, Hernandez, everyone's named Hernandez, too. But one question real quick, and I just want to hear your opinions, because it was recently brought to my attention that U.S. soccer had set a goal by the year of 2020, obviously, which already passed, to produce a world-class player. The closest thing that we have to that is Christian Pulisic. Is he considered a world-class player?
I think so.
Yeah, I'd say so, because he's been able to produce and get up there. If you look at it, too, he's I was talking to you earlier, he's got a sponsorship with Puma now, and he's got his own shoes being made, too. So when it comes to superstar caliber, you think about Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo as being superstar in the high caliber. I get that. But in our caliber, and, you know, I know I don't want to say that we have lower standards, but, like, he's actually produced well and been able to make a name for himself and actually come up. The only thing that sucks for him is that he does get injured a little too often.
Yeah, definitely gets injured often. I wouldn't consider him a world-class player. I definitely consider him a great player. But to me, in my opinion, world-class is somebody on the level of the Ronaldo's, Neymar's, Mbappe's, and he's not there at that level. So,
you're saying like the top five best players in the world is like top 10?
Top 10. I wouldn't say they have to be in that, but that's definitely what you considered world-class. Where it's a non-negotiable that he's a starter. And with Chelsea, or wherever he may go, you may bench him. So, in my opinion, when you're world-class, it's like, no doubt about it, he has to be on the field. Yeah, basically, unless you're injured or fatigued. Now, do I think he's very, he's one of the, not one of the best, but he's definitely in that elite status. I do think he's an elite player, but in my opinion, world-class is just not there yet. I think he will get there, but not yet.
I think he's one step away from being there. Like Ro mentioned, the injury, he's got to find a way to stay healthy for a full season. And then also, I think we'll see how it plays out with Chelsea. But I think, you know, the way Tuchel used him as a super sub, you know, it's just, I think, you know, for most teams in the Premier League, you know, even Arsenal, I think he would be starting week in and week out. And
did you just say even Arsenal? Bro, anybody starting for Arsenal, get out of here.
Here we go. I knew that you
would come. Even Arsenal, like Arsenal's good. Hey, the top of the table, bro, though, huh?
We're at the top of top of the league.
But anyways, going into the rest of the world, hey, the best tournament starts this week. The CONCACAF Champions League, baby. Monterrey versus Cruz Azul and America versus Philadelphia Union.
I almost didn't want to talk about this because I don't think it's very important for Americans.
It's all right, dude. Why not?
Because we're going to get shit lagged.
It's okay, dude. We're the best team. We're gonna win it all.
Hey, last year it was LAFC, right? And that was one of the four left.
Yeah, they played. Who did they play? They played Cruz Azul. No, yeah, Cruz Azul, right? Or León. They knocked out León, and then they played Cruz Azul. They played América, and América knocked them out. I think it was the one time I was going for América.
Yeah, it was a pretty crazy run they had. So we'll see if Philadelphia can have a similar run. I just don't think they really... I mean, I think they're a pretty solid team, but I just don't feel like they'll be able to compete with, you know, America, especially when they go to the Azteca. So I see, you know, Liga and Mekis taking this one yet again.
Well, let's be honest, though, too, because, like you're saying, when you first started, like, I don't think it really has a draw with the Americans, but look at it, what their quarterfinals were played in May, and then here we go, August, where we're going to continue it now. Like, I think it's almost lost its, you know, the luster of it. Like, it's a tournament, and then we have, like, this 2-3 month wait of actually seeing it played out to a final, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, I definitely think that obviously the format has to change, because even when I first mentioned it right now, I was like, wait, are we starting a whole new one? And I was like, oh, no, it's a semifinals. But yeah, I definitely think the tournament has to evolve and adapt. But at the same time, do you think the CONCACAF keeps it that way because of the MLS format? Or do you think what needs to change first, MLS format or CONCACAF Champions League format?
Well, MLS is not going to change because, sorry, the guys are laughing because I put titties in the chat. Sorry, guys. No, but MLS is not changing their format. I mean, because if they change it, they don't want to go up against the NFL. That's the big thing, because we know in America, people love football. Like, a lot of people will watch like 8th division football before they ever watch an MLS game. So I think MLS is going to stay the same way. So I don't know. I mean, I do think they need to do something, but I also think that, you know, it's that was one thing, but it's also the salary cap that we talk about over and over again, because everybody in MLS spends all their money on attacking players. We just did it with Atlanta United. They keep signing attacking players, even though it probably would be better to sign a defensive player. And that's where the Mexican teams really get us, because we're not as good at the back, and they are better than us at the back.
We're kind of looking through all this stuff. Like, it's got the, I was just kind of looking earlier with the 10 biggest transfer moves of the MLS, this transfer window. And like you're saying, a lot of it's forwards. It's more of an attacker. You don't really see much when it comes to the defense. And like you said, you can't really win a game, or you can't win anything really, if you don't have that defense to kind of carry you through it. So, yeah, it kind of shows that a lot of the money is spent on the forwards rather than the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you say something, Obi?
I think definitely that's something that has to change, David. We've talked about it many, many times. So we'll see when they actually decide to actually make that leap. Obviously, Galaxy, we did spend a lot of money on defenders. But it's not world-class defenders, right? Top names. Like, I would have loved, again, to see somebody go after Otamendi when he was on his way out. I think he's in Argentina now. Or potentially Piqué is going to be on his way out soon, you know? Somebody like that I think can come in the MLS and really change the game. And maybe even if he's not having the impact on the field, imagine off the field, you know, these young defenders, these Julian Araujos coming to the world, learning from a Piqué or learning from a Otamendi or learning from a Dani Alves, players like these types. But don't get them too late, because obviously we saw that happen with Ashley Cole, and that guy was awful.
Yeah, he was.
Dude, everybody, it was annoying. You'd be at the Galaxy stadiums anytime Ashley Cole's on the ball. Oh, you're like, dude, he's doing nothing. Relax. Hey, and every time he messed up, nobody calls him out.
Yeah, your name sometimes is bigger than your actually, like, you're playing. So what you guys still have a Liga and Mekis team taking it?
Yeah, probably. And if Philadelphia Union is just not strong enough.
Yeah, they're going to take it. One of the Mexican League teams is going to end up taking it. They have, Philadelphia being the only ones that we have in there. Yeah, I don't see us having much of a chance of really winning it, because, let's be honest, Philadelphia isn't one of our best teams either. Ooh, will they qualify for the tournament?
Yeah, but they beat Atlanta United. What's that tell you?
Oh my God! I should qualify. That's a knockout.
If you were to hear Trump's opinion on this, it would probably be something like, "Of course they're gonna steal it. Mexican teams are all thieves."
Man, that's how we get canceled.
That will really get us canceled. But moving on.
Good thing our five listeners aren't reporting us.
Exactly.
Good thing the five listeners was French.
Brazil wins the Olympic gold, so you know, good for them. And then Mexico wins bronze, so I definitely didn't want Mexico to win the gold, but man, Mexico always does well in this tournament. What can you say? I mean, I gotta give respect.
Oh, that's the first time you heard David say anything nice about Mexico in his life. Obviously Brazil, hats off to them, they're able to win gold. I think Brazil and Mexico are always two of the favorites going into the Olympics. Obviously, Brazil is always a favorite anywhere, but it is good to see Mexico obviously perform at these tournaments. It was unfortunate that we lost to Brazil in the PKs, but man, Mexicans, just like the English people, we suck at PKs, dude.
to take Brazil to PKs, I mean, that's very impressive. Mexico had just figured out how to do well at that tournament, something the U.S. hasn't figured out, because we can't even qualify for it.
So what do you think it is then? Because you see, like, a lot of the Olympics are the U-23 players with a couple of seasoned players in there. With Mexico being so good, I should say, at that stage with the younger teams, like, what happens to them when they hit the World Cup and all the other teams, like, other games? Like, they don't seem to compete as well as they do with the Olympics.
I also think that Mexico, like, they're the three senior players that they take, they usually take like pretty good Mexican players. Like, I think a lot of the other teams, didn't Brazil have Dani Alves? I mean, he's pretty old. Like, he's a good player, but he's like old. Like, you guys had who was it, Ochoa, and who were the other two senior players?
It's a good question.
You don't even know.
I don't know the other two.
Oh man.
But Mexico's always like, I feel like they've always had some big name players go with their Olympic squad. So I think most teams don't go that big, but I think, I mean, it's more than just that. So I don't know what happened. You know, the under 23 tournament is always weird, because obviously, like, Honduras qualified for it. They did decent in the tournament, and we know Honduras isn't, you know, a powerhouse in CONCACAF, so it just somehow doesn't always translate to the senior team. But I mean, it should bear some fruit, so to speak.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's definitely a weird, concept why it doesn't go directly hand in hand with the senior national teams. But let's move on, David. Obviously, the EPL is back this Friday, August 13th, Friday the 13th. I'm excited about it. Obviously, you're excited about it right now at the beginning of the season, because Arsenal's top of the table. But realistically, who do you think has a chance of winning it all?
Winning the Premier League, the whole damn thing?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously we're going to be – so we're, I'm going to be wrong because, I mean, it's really hard to tell. Obviously, you got your top dogs like Manchester City, Manchester United, Liverpool, I think even Chelsea. I think, you know, based off what happened last year, I really think, you know, Manchester United is going to build up on how they performed last year. So I think Manchester United comes back to the promised land.
I know Man City is going to be the favorite going through, but I really hope that some other team kind of takes it just to give them that little bit of a challenge. So that way we have that. Like, I mean, I know Haley because Obi likes him, so that's the only reason I go against him. Just to see Obi cry about it. but it'd actually be nice to see, like, I like Liverpool. I like the way they play. I like with Mo Salah with them, and he's probably going to end up leaving here soon too. But, you know, just see a team like that can actually come up. Or even, what was it, a few years ago you had Leicester City that came up and actually won it. Like, it's kind of nice to see those teams that you're like, who is that, come up and actually win the cup that year. So it's kind of cool.
Because we've got Salah.
I really think Richmond FC is going to win it. They're obviously, they just re-signed Jamie Chart. No, they're battling for promotion. I'm not dumb. No, I'm just kidding. They're not going to win promotion either.
but Obi, you got Man City, right?
I got Man City all the way, dude.
But
Chelsea obviously is going to be a very good team this year under Tuchel. It was a brief moment of seeing that in the Champions League, so it's definitely going to be a long run. But we'll see what happens. Obviously, I always keep an eye on Leeds United. Hopefully, that they compete and they're in the top four this year.
Yep, APL season starts this Friday. And speaking of Chelsea, they'll be in a Super Cup against Villarreal. So, you know, that'll be fun to see. So we get to see Pulisic playing that. He's going to be rocking the custom Stars and Stripes soccer shoes that Ro mentioned earlier. So that's pretty dope, man. You made it when you got your own shoes, right?
Yeah, I still have my own shoes, and I'm still trying to make it.
Yeah, you got those ones with the marker your little kids drew on it. Like, hey, Daddy, here are some shoes.
It's the dad shoes.
Ro's got the K-Swisses.
Skechers. No, the Skechers dad shoes.
Soccer cleat? Is it bedazzled? He's got an Ed Hardy signature on it.
Hey, but David, let's get into what everybody came on this episode to hear. Messi.
What?
Signs with PSG. What do you think about everything that happened with Barcelona? Is it Barca's fault? Is it Messi's fault? Should they have both done better? PSG?
Man.
Is Messi going to feel challenged there playing in that league where PSG already wins it every year and by a lot? Minus last year.
You know what's going to be funny is that Pep Guardiola is going to complain that PSG spends too much money and they got too many good players now. but nah, man, I mean, his news are rocked the world because the crazy thing is, you know, Barcelona and Messi like had come to agreement after all the back and forth, after Messi's talking about leaving. So we thought they were good. And then, I don't know, like a month ago, we talked about how, you know, that Liga came down on Barcelona saying they were way over the salary cap and they needed to get you know, back under it. And we were like, oh, shoot, I didn't even know they had a salary cap. And then we looked at the rules for the salary cap, and it was pretty crazy how they structure it. So then all of a sudden, boom, they're not able to come to an agreement. And what I had seen and what Messi had said himself, you know, I don't know how much there's truth to it, but I don't know why Messi would lie, that he apparently had offered to cut his salary by half. You know, that's a huge amount. And that Barcelona still didn't take it. So if that's true, if that's what happened, then, you know, I blame Barcelona for that. And also, I mean, Barca knew that this rule was in place, and I don't know when they did it, a year or two ago, but it's not like it just came up. So somebody at Barca dropped the ball on that. So I mean, I think it's mainly on Barca, but yeah, it was you know, it was sad for Messi. We saw his press conference; he was crying. He was beat up about it, but then PSG was like, here's a shit ton of money and you can come to Paris and just score goals whenever you want. He's like, okay, I don't feel so bad anymore.
So honestly, I don't know how much blame you can really put on Barcelona, I know you're trying to say with the new funding that they had, that they weren't able to really sign him. At the same time, you kind of had to know it was expected because of everything that happened last year with COVID and everything. But it's kind of hard to put the blame on Barcelona since their salary cap was already high as it is. And it's kind of hard to dwindle down the money when you're already high. And then you put something, I think it was what, like 200 million lower than what they originally had. So I don't know. Like, I get that Messi tried to take a 50% reduction in pay. But if they knew or kind of had an idea of that this was going on, don't you think also they could have possibly shocked some of their other players out the way that they were trying instead of kind of last minute? But yeah, at the same time, like I said, I don't put the blame on Barcelona. They kind of went in thinking, hey, we have this cap. It should be technically higher than normal. And then just COVID hit and kind of ruined everything for them.
Well, I mean, are you saying the blame falls to Messi then?
No, not to Messi itself. Like, honestly, I would put the blame on La Liga. They kind of dropped the ball in. No, I don't want to say drop the ball because it's kind of hard to really predict, hey, we're going to have a pandemic, we're going to lose a lot of money. But in order to actually be able to have that money, and you're already expecting to go higher. That's like the salary cap with the NFL, the same thing. That was dropped. So they're having to restructure and figure things out as well. So I wouldn't really put it on the team because, like I said, you can't really expect the pandemic to hit out of nowhere. And then now all of a sudden you're scrambling to figure out how you're going to pay your players.
Yeah, but Barcelona's coming from a ton of debt from a bunch of bad signings that they've done over the years. So I get what you're saying, that it's something that's unexpected, but a good GM is going to be able to navigate it. A good president is going to be able to figure it out. You just let one of the, well, probably the greatest player to ever play walk out of your club. That's somebody that wanted to stay. But I understand at the same time, you're obviously not going to go bankrupt for one player when you got to think about the future of the club, like in the next 5 or 10 years. Messi, obviously very sad to see him leave. It was kind of interesting. I did read and hear from other people that if Messi's so heartbroken about it, why didn't he just agree to play for free? He doesn't need the money. He can make a bunch of money on the endorsements. And I was just like, yeah, but I was like, it was more the principle of the thing, right? No matter how much you want to be there, it's a principle. You got to do your job and get paid for it, and you still want to make it more money each year to be able to, you know, what, for the next 5 years? Because after that, probably won't be playing anymore and making that ridiculous amount of money.
Right. And I mean, I think 50% of your salary is more than enough to show you're committed. But let me ask you, Obi, do you think this might be a blessing in disguise for Barcelona? Because we know they haven't, been at the top like they have been, which is why Messi has been so dissatisfied. But, you know, Messi, you know, is getting older. He's, you know, he ties up a lot of your money. Do you think it may be a blessing in disguise for them? Or do you think it's just a nail in the coffin for Barca?
No, I think it definitely is a blessing in disguise. I think it sets them up to rebuild very nicely. Obviously, they're going to have to probably get rid of Kun Agüero because he only went for Messi. So they're going to have to navigate that one as well. But I think it is a blessing in disguise and allows them rebuild. It's kind of funny that, thinking about Messi going to PSG, right, that Pochettino got fired from Spurs, okay? Players that he was coaching with were, well, obviously there were some really good players, but now he went to a team where he's coaching Neymar, Mbappe, Sergio Ramos, Lionel Messi. You have the new goalkeeper signing. And speaking about that, PSG signed 4 out of 5 players. They signed Wijnaldum for free. They signed Messi for free, obviously transfer-wise, right? Donnarumma from AC Milan, the Italian goalkeeper, free. Sergio Ramos, free. They signed some other player, only 70 million. You talk about GMs working the magic of presidents, yeah. Dude. That is crazy.
So here's my question with all that, because like you said, he worked his magic to end up getting those players from the team. Does this does this really put PSG as a favorite for winning the Champions League now? Because you could arguably say top 5 when Neymar, Messi,
dude, if they don't Mbappe win the Champions League, that's embarrassing. Like, they got a clean house. Like, they have to win the Champions League.
That's what I'm saying. They have to. They put them as a favorite now.
Yeah, I agree with you. They definitely are favorite. We saw how well they did this past year. But, you know, I think the problem with PSG has always been, you know, we mentioned it, that they're going to cruise through Ligue 1. And that's the thing is when you get ready to the Champions League, they're not playing, you know, tough teams week in and week out to get them prepared for these games. So that's always been the hard thing for them because they have the players, they have the coach. It's just not having that competitive league to be playing in, even though, you know, Lille did take it this past year. But I don't see that happening this year. I think they're going to breeze through the league easily.
So with that, with what you're saying, do you think this is also like a curse to them? Because like you said, they don't have that competition with the league. You know, PSG is expected to win the league every single year. So then they get into the Champions League and now they're playing this stiff competition where they're expected to really produce and they haven't really had, I don't want to say tune-up games, but the games to really, you know, make it hard for them to challenge them to end up getting to that level.
Yeah, I mean, but that's always been the case for them. I mean, they play in a league that they just dominate, except for last year. But I think that's because they were just mainly focused on the Champions League. Because that's a barometer. I mean, them winning the league is not a big deal. They need to win a Champions League. So there's not – I mean, what else can you do about it? I mean, you can't help who's in your league. That's why the whole, like, Super League discussions were brought up, and we saw how that ended. So it's just one of those things that I don't know how, you know, they can have better competition. I mean, it's just one of those things that it is what it is.
Yeah, no, definitely.
What if they, what if they do the – kind of Super League, they wanted to get all the teams, basically best teams in the world, and put them on – or European, and put them in that one league. But, you know, what if they kind of branch out a little bit and get little contracts where they play, say, PSG does play a Real Madrid, or they do play
– Nope, here you go. Rose a Super League fan.
Ooh. Rose about to get all the hate, bro.
You know what? We're canceling Rose, too, last time. Yep.
That's the same. That's how it started, bro. That's how the Super League started. Teams wanting to do that.
Well, that's what I mean. Sanctioned, though, not like, hey, we're just going to start this league and it's just going to be these five teams.
But then again, what? Then it becomes the same thing as a Champions League.
Well, it doesn't have to be the top teams. You can get like the teams that you don't even hear about and give them a little bit of that competition, a little bit of that challenge to see what they're up against.
Then you're talking about the Europa League, the teams that you don't hear about, like Arsenal.
What he's saying is he wants them to play against Galaxy and LAFC.
Basically.
Yeah, Galaxy out there.
Yeah, right. But, man, hey, how crazy. Are Messi and Sergio Ramos, like, friends?
Like, they've always had respect for each other. No, they've always had a level of respect. Ramos has always talked about it.
Even with Ramos was, like, you know, going in, you know, two-footed tackles with a stud showing.
Yeah, that's how you know he respects you.
I was going to say, are you sure it's respect? Because have you seen the videos of them two going at it?
Yeah, I know. But it is kind of crazy to have Messi and Ramos on the same team. But, hey, it is what it is. PSG, I mean, they did it right. So, now, you know, they're going to be the ones to watch. And then, you know, Messi, let's see how those T-shirt sales do.
Yeah, definitely.
Not number 10 anymore.
Yeah, definitely number 30.
You want the Barcelona sale?
Yeah,
you're talking about the Barcelona ones, right?
Oh, well, I mean, that's going to drop significantly.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting seeing the GOAT wear number 30, so we'll see how it goes. But we're definitely going to pay attention and talk about this all season long, so we appreciate it. Thank you guys for joining us today. Thank you, Ro, for hopping on the call. Make sure you guys always leave us a good review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, message us on Facebook, get the chats going on Facebook, Twitter, whatever it may be. Email us. But thank you guys, and we really appreciate it. Yep. Peace out.
Peace. Later.
It's been real. It's been fun, but it hasn't been real fun. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check us out weekly. As always, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out via email or on any of our social media platforms. Bye. Have a good week.